I'm Jennifer Christian. Welcome to Awareness Houston, a podcast collaboration of Jennifer Christian Counseling and The Way. Each episode will be a conversation with healing professionals about present moment awareness and healing. I'm glad you're listening. Welcome to Awareness Houston. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's an honor to have you here as I have a very special guest who is so like therapists that I've talked to all over are just so grateful for her work in polyvagal theory. Deb Dana is a clinician, consultant, and author specializing in complex trauma. Her work is focused on using the lens of polyvagal theory to understand and resolve the impact of trauma in our lives. It is a delight to have you here, Deb.
I am so happy to be doing this with you this morning.
I was so excited when you said yes to be able to visit with you, because one of the things that is dearest to my heart is for people to know that they can find, they can learn the language of their nervous system. Mm-hmm. And it is transformative. And I've had that experience myself and in what I've seen happen with my clients when they learn this. So I wanted to just like go, could you please, if you, I know you give this all the time, your talk on, you know, the hierarchy of the nervous system, but it would just be such a gift.
Absolutely. I would love to, because yes, it really is about befriending our nervous system, and we're not taught about our nervous systems. And so to dive in and understand, and you know, I like befriending, I like that word, because it really is an ongoing relationship, right? In the beginning, we get to know somebody, and that's the beginning of a friendship, but we have to tend to that relationship to really deepen the friendship. So we're doing that with our nervous system, and we'll sort of get to know it today, and then, you know, as we move forward, you know, in our personal lives and in our work with therapists or with our clients, we deepen that relationship. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if we talk polyvagal for a moment, the polyvagal theory really has three organizing principles, which are hierarchy, that you referenced, neuroception, and co-regulation. And so let's kind of take a short tour of
those. I've been to those three. Concepts. Yes.
So hierarchy is the way the nervous system was developed over our evolutionary history. And it's the way that we move through states in this predictable order. And the fact that it's a predictable hierarchy makes it really helpful for us, because we then can know where we are and we can know what state we've traveled out of and how to get back to regulation. So if we think about the hierarchy, there are three states in the hierarchy. If we think about the oldest first, if we start there, the first part of our nervous system that ever came to be is called the dorsal vagal system. And in its everyday regulating role, this is the system that runs our digestive system. So it keeps us in healthy digestion. It nourishes us by giving nutrients to us inside in our digestive tract. It is also in its survival role, the state that takes us into that place of feeling sort of not really here. We're a bit numb, we're a bit foggy, sort of going through the motions without really caring, without having the energy to show up and be present. And if you think about an ancient tortoise, which is a fun way to think about this system, that sort of moves very slowly through the world, because this system works very slowly. Your digestion works in a slow, deliberate way. And then when the tortoise gets scared by something, it retreats into its shell, right? It just closes in and just stays there for a really long time, right?
And that's and our even experience. Like as you're doing that, even as you're describing and your shoulders are coming in, you're like, yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So, you know, many of the people work with kids, you know, kids call this their turtle place, right? When they go to that place of feeling so afraid, so terrified, they have to escape by becoming
Your
really
voice
little.
even gets quieter.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can feel it come alive as we're talking about it, right?
Yes,
It begins
yes.
to activate. So that's our earliest survival response. And long, long ago, you know, hundreds of millions of years ago, that's all we had. If to survive, we had to become invisible and immobilize. So dorsal is the system of immobilization. And then, you
and get
know,
really
next,
small, like you were
getting
doing.
very
Get really
small.
small, be
Yeah.
invisible.
Yeah, you can feel your body wants to just hunch over and curl up. You know, in its most extreme, we curl up in the fetal position and just need to disappear, right? It's a some flavor of disappearing that
And what
happens
happens to
in dorsal.
thinking? Like, you know, I'm thinking like a lot of us when we're here are trying to like think about how to do our
Yeah.
lives, and it's so challenging here.
Yep. So when you're in dorsal, your prefrontal cortex is not active and online. Right, you can't use your thinking brain as a way to get out of this when you're in it. Right, so
Can
the
you
work
say that
of your
again? Because
I
we all
can't.
try to use our thinking brains to get
No,
out of
I know,
this.
but when we're in this place of the body's in a conservation mode, and so everything is slowed down, and our prefrontal cortex is no longer there in the way we need it to be to be able to think our way out of this place, right? You know, what we tell ourselves and we tell our clients and we know is that, you know, if we're suffering with a post-traumatic response, if we're suffering with a pattern that we can't seem to get out of, but what we say is, if you could have thought your way out of this, you would have done it long ago, right?
Oh,
To
that's,
get
and
out
what a
of this
comfort
path.
to say that.
Exactly.
You would have, if you could
You
have, you
would
would
have, of
have.
course you would have, yes. But you're here with me suffering because thinking is not the way out of this, right? So this is where the befriending comes in. If I can turn towards my dorsal with a bit of compassion or curiosity, wow, I have gone to this place of, you know, total.
Right here. And your hands are over your heart here,
Yeah,
just
yeah,
coming
yeah,
toward this place.
So the next system that came online is the sympathetic system, which is, you know, we usually know that as the system of fight and flight. So instead of just disappearing and getting small and invisible, we now could have an active aggressive or an active running away.
You even get bigger as you talk.
I know,
you
we
know
do, we get bigger,
yeah.
right? And the voice changes and everything. Because what sympathetic does in its normal, non-reactive, everyday role, its responsibility is to help regulate our heart, our breath rhythms, and it brings energy to mobilize. We're moving my hands, or we move. This is sympathetic.
Hey, you
That's
get so much
to
bigger here. If people can't see, because this is a lot of you are listening to this.
Yeah.
We were really small a moment ago, and now like the hands are out, yeah. Shoulders are up. Yeah.
Exactly.
Voice is louder here.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, it brings us this energy, which is helpful in its everyday non-reactive role. But when it takes us, when we're feeling endangered, it then activates as a survival system, and then it's fight or flight, right? So it's anger or anxiety. That's what comes here. And when that system gets fully online, we're flooded with cortisol and adrenaline, and we know what that feels like.
Yes.
Right. So it's that looping that can't get out of. And again, here, prefrontal is not fully online and active, so we can't think our way out of here either.
And this is where you were talking about that looping. That's what I always hear, those racing, looping thoughts here.
So you might have racing, looping thoughts, or you might be obsessed with one thought and can't get out of that
and
one.
Can't, or in an image that's just keeps,
exactly,
yeah, barraging
or emotion
intrusive.
That's repetitive, right? Because as sympathetic, you're stuck in this system that has to keep energy doing something. You're overflowing with energy that is disorganized, chaotic energy.
When we're stuck here.
When you're stuck there.
Yeah, because this is also these are important systems that help us navigate our day. And when we get stuck, that's when
right.
we have these experiences. Yes.
Exactly. So no energy in dorsal.
Yeah.
Too much energy that we can't connect with and regulate in sympathetic. And then we come to ventral. the
Mm. And
newest
he just
book. I
smiled,
know,
right?
it's
You're like,
central. I know, I wish
I
people
wish
could see us.
if this is going to be on YouTube too. So if you could just see Deb Dana as she's talking about
Here
this,
we
it's just
are.
so.
Yes.
I'll just
We
see
come
this
to
meditative
mental.
hands, like you just, yeah,
Exactly.
it's
It's
so
just there.
beautiful. Yes.
And everybody will find their own motions as they're listening. They can see we got very small and then big, and then this people will find
Yes.
their own way through, which is one of the exercises I do with my clients and with people I'm teaching, is say, so in dorsal, what is the body doing? For me, it really is this.
And to
In
the for
sympathetic,
them
I
to
never
touch base with the their own experience so they can,
find the motion, find
yeah,
the way
go,
your
oh,
body
this
moves.
is what this feels like, this is what this
Exactly.
sounds like, this is what,
Exactly. And then
yeah.
the same with sympathetic, because we're
Yes.
coming up the hierarchy, sympathetic, and now we've reached ventral. And in ventral, we're regulated. We feel safe enough to move through the world. We can connect. And the four streams of connection that are available to us when we're in this ventral state of regulation are connection to self, connection to others, connection to the world around us, and to spirit, right? And those connections are only available when we're in ventral. When we leave ventral and go to sympathetic and then dorsal, we lose the capacity to connect. Not that I don't want to still connect, but my biology won't allow me to.
That's such a dilemma there. But that then all these states were wired for connection, which you talk about in your books, and also that in survival, that loss of contact.
That's that, if we leave hierarchy for just a moment, we'll come back, but think about co-regulation, which is what we're talking about. It's a necessity for survival to be connected to another. And we have those two things working, sometimes together, sometimes in opposition, is the longing to connect and the drive to survive. Right. And so, yeah,
And trying
sometimes they
to,
go together beautifully, and
yes.
sometimes they don't go together at all. And if
Yes.
you think about your own life, there might be moments when I so want to reach out and connect to this person, but my survival is saying not safe. And your survival is going to win that battle all the time, right? So we act, and our nervous system is acting in service of survival all the time. So yes, when if we come back to the hierarchy, only when we're in ventral can that longing to connect in any of those four pathways be met, right? Because then we're in a place where it feels, safe enough to reach out. I used to say safe, but nowadays I say safe enough, right? Because the world's a crazy place, and it's hard to feel, totally safe anywhere, right? But safe enough, that's all we need, a critical mass of ventral, right? Enough ventral in my system so that I can, move forward in this way. So, again, the other thing I'd like to say, because we talked about sympathetic, is there is this connection between ventral and sympathetic. There's an actual circuit that goes from your brainstem to your heart that is this connection. So it's this connection to heart, which I love. It's called the vagal break, because what its job is to allow us to access sympathetic nervous system energy without going into a survival response. And that's how I can have, energy to show up and be with you and rise to the occasion, or move through the world in all of these ways, because that part of my ventral vagal system, the vagal break, is opening up to allow sympathetic in, but holding it so that I don't go into fight and flight.
So it for I'm thinking as you're saying this, for some of us that didn't, maybe it's as children didn't have an experience of
Didn't get
enough
enough exercise.
safety to
Yes.
connect, to build this muscle or where this was possible,
Exactly.
then this energy, which also is this energy available to us in this ventral vagal state, can be scary.
Yes. And a couple things. Everybody's vagal break is working. because it works with every breath cycle. On every inhale, the vagal break allows a little more sympathetic and your heart rate speeds up a little. And on every exhale, it closes down a bit and the heart rate slows down, which is very reassuring for most of my clients, because I had clients who say, oh, I think my break is broken. Not broken.
No,
It's
no.
working every time you breathe, right? However, it may not be working as efficiently as you want it to. So it's not that it's not working, but it's the efficiency that we're looking for. And the efficiency is built on these ability to, be with a safe other and feel the rise of energy and the coming back to calm, the excitement and calm. But
Of the
as
in-breath and the out-breath, the
exactly. And
excitement
as
and
little
the
kids, you think they dysregulate, they get overwhelmed, and then they're met with a ventral system, with a caring other who helps them come back to regulation, right? That exercises that vagal break, so they get good at being able to stay within that space.
when they're
It
met with that caring other. And I think, like when you're saying to learn to be with, this is something which you've talked about in a lot of your work, the nervous system can be shaped.
Absolutely.
And so we can actually practice this with us, with somebody who's safe enough to practice.
Exactly. Somebody, and that's the key, isn't it? To find people around us who are safe enough that we feel that we can explore with, right? I mean, that really is takes us back to co-regulation again. I have to have somebody who feels my nervous system feels, oh, that nervous system feels safe enough to explore with, right? Because my brain is going to say, well, you should feel okay doing it with this
You should
person.
feel, why are you, yeah, what's
Exactly. Exactly. Again, that's the
the
brain. And if we leave the brain and go to the nervous system instead, the nervous system, and this leads us to this other organizing principle, neuroception. The nervous system is taking in cues of welcome or warning, cues of safety or danger from inside your own body. So it's listening inside. It's also listening to the environment around us, but it's also listening between nervous systems. So while your brain says should, and whenever you hear should, you want to think twice about that, right? Because should comes from a sympathetic place of you should be able to do this, right? That's a sympathetic.
Which all it sounds like a survivally to me too, like you
Yes, it
should,
is. Yeah, you
right?
should. Yep. And so, but your nervous system is taking in some cues. And for whatever reason, that person who your brain says you should, your nervous system is saying, not sure, right?
And you can
So,
notice both.
absolutely
Because I'm
both.
like going, notice the should. I should be able to do this. Like my mind's telling me this. And I'm having this experience in my body where, and noticing those cues we talked about earlier of like wanting to curl in or get big or.
Or get me out of here. Yeah, right. And so again, that's a both and. And we're used to preferencing the brain over the body. But if your brain and your nervous system are in a disagreement, again, your brain may force you to move forward, but you're not going to get the benefit of the experience. So I should be able to connect with this person.
I
And
can
so I'm
force
going
that.
to. And so I'm going to ignore what the signs are inside my body. I'm going to, and then I do it, and it's a terrible experience. And
And
then
out of
I beat myself,
energy.
right? Then I beat myself up even more. Wow, you couldn't even, whatever. So that's the
What a
sympathetic loop.
dilemma there.
So listen to your brain because it's speaking loudly, but honor what your nervous system is telling you because that's where it begins.
And this is all of us.
All of us, every one of us, which is the lovely thing about doing this kind of work with clients. It's like, oh, my nervous system absolutely understands that because I've been there too, right? The nervous system, I call it the common denominator in human experience. We all have one. It's wired in basically the same ways, and then it's shaped by our personal experience. But we all go from ventral to sympathetic to dorsal and back again all the time. And actually, I would like to say here the goal is not to always be what I call anchored and ventral. That's not the goal, right? The goal is to be able to know when I've left, when I've moved into sympathetic or dorsal, and have some pathways to get back to ventral. That's really the goal. That builds flexibility.
Yes, bringing awareness. And
Mm-hmm.
as much as possible, like you said, with compassion,
With
with
compassion.
this.
Yeah, you know, compassion is tough for many of us. You know, I can go to self-criticism so quickly. However, what I've found before compassion is somewhat easier for me and for my clients is curiosity. Because curiosity is also a ventral vagal quality. So I may not be able to say, oh, compassion, but I can go, huh, wonder why, right? So I can have curiosity, which then brings me a thread of connection to my ventral and begins to allow me to find that pathway home again. I call ventral our home. So we're always trying to find the pathway home.
Find the way
The ventral.
home. Yeah. And that, and then as we start to, and it's like just getting data, like you said, curiosity, getting data, where am I?
Right.
And what are some potential, which is in so much of your work, you're like exercises and tools to be able to know where you are, get a sense of where you are, and to be able to come home again.
Right. Because the first step really is, I love what you said, information gathering. I use that all the time. We're in information gathering mode, right? Where am I? How did I get here? Right. This is information gathering. I'm not trying to do anything with it in the beginning. I'm just simply getting to know. And then when I kind of get to know my patterns, then I build some of these resources through exercises. And I have things, you know, written down that I can turn to. Because again, my prefrontal is not going with me when I leave ventral. Right. It doesn't take the journey to sympathetic and dorsal with me. But if I have things already pre-planned that I've written down and I can just grab and look, because I can read what I've written. I may not be able to think of what I can do at the moment, but oh, I've already identified this works. I'm just gonna grab this and I'm gonna.
And a list of things that I can do that I've already sat down with and set.
Yeah.
I remember after reading your first book, which for clinicians is so wonderful, Polyvagal Theory for Theory for Therapists. I remember exactly where I was, which is so like these pivotal moments in your life, and your book was one of those moments.
Oh.
And something had happened that day that was just, I mean, it just took the rug out from under me.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't that aware, but I found myself sitting on my couch and I was slumped over and I thought nothing I do matters. And I just, you know, just in that place of it's hopeless and all of these things. And I just, that slumping energy. And then all of a sudden this light, and which now this is after reading a book and sitting it with for a while, but this light came on and it was so funny because it was like, you're in dorsal.
I love it. Yes.
And I thought, I'm in dorsal right now. And it was just, which was for me in my childhood, that's where I lived a lot of the time.
Yes.
And so to have this awareness, oh,
yeah.
So then I'm in dorsal. So now what? And it wasn't a thinking place, like you said, it was, oh, I have this list of things.
Right.
And I'm
right.
I go to that first. And then my brain was accessible later.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it because you answered that essential first question, where am I? That is the first question we have to answer. We can't get out of the place because we have to know where we are first. So you did. Oh, I'm in dorsal. And
oh, I'm in dorsal. It was such a lovely little moment.
Yeah.
I just go, oh, you're this is exactly what this looks like, right?
Exactly. I'm having the experience of it right now. Yeah. I also loved what you said that it was, you know, where you lived and, you know, growing up. That's my experience as well. And what I call that, we have a home in ventral where, you know, I think our nervous system inherently longs to be and actually knows how to get to, which is what I tell people. We're just reminding your nervous system it knows the way home, right? I think we also have what I call a home away from home. And you just identified yours as dorsal, mine is dorsal as well. My home away from home is dorsal. So it's the place that I find I go to more often, right?
Yes.
I don't visit sympathetic that often. You know, I actually joke and, you know, I tell people I take the express elevator from ventral to dorsal, right? Yeah,
Me as well.
you as well. We do go through sympathetic. We want to remember
Yes,
that we go,
that
but
there's
it's
an order to this.
there is an order, and so we
Down
go
and up, it's like an
sympathetic.
elevator, and the floor is on the
Right,
elevator.
exactly. We just don't stop. You know, we just go right through it and end up
Right.
in dorsal quickly. For many, many people, their elevator really stops at sympathetic, and they stay there a really long time. And then they may drop the dorsal, or they may find their way back to ventral. And in sympathetic, the way back to ventral is to take all of that disorganized, chaotic, flooding energy and bring it into some sort of organization, right? So that, because the energy is not just going to go away, we need to discharge it in a safe way so that we can come up to ventral. So
And then have access to our brain again and
exactly,
contact with ourselves, others.
exactly, yeah.
Yes.
You know, and in dorsal, we have to bring a bit of that mobilizing energy in. So coming out of dorsal, we have to go through sympathetic and continue on to ventral. And the difficulty is when we leave dorsal and feel some of that sympathetic energy, it can feel really scary and it can feel too big. And then we dive
Yes.
back to dorsal again, and that's another loop.
That's
Right?
been a huge thing for my clients who have lived a lot in dorsal.
Yeah.
Is that, and maybe that's even what I was alluding to, that how that can be scary, that activating energy. And then I have anxiety around, like I'm either in dorsal all the time, or and then I'm anxious, and then I'm back in dorsal because.
Exactly. Yeah. So the nervous system is it really wants to go through some of that mobilizing sympathetic to continue on to ventral, but it doesn't have a lot of practice doing that. And so, you know, that's what we're
Yes.
trying to, right. So that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to gain skill in feeling a bit of mobilizing energy, organizing it. We want to contain it, but not constrain it. Right. So it's not because we have to feel it. We contain it and then we can move up to ventral. And, you know, also ventral for many people is an unfamiliar place. Right.
Yes.
And in the beginning, that could feel scary. Right. Even though we know it's the place of safety, regulation and well-being. If it's a place that you haven't had a lot of access to in the beginning, it feels unfamiliar. And unfamiliar for the nervous system is often equated with dangerous.
Yes,
we want unfamiliar to become interesting, right? That's more of a ventral, oh, this is interesting. But in the beginning, it's, oh my God, this feels scary because
so
I don't know this
foreign.
place. Right.
Which you have some beautiful, so you have a new book that just came out, Polyvagal Exercises for Safety and Connection.
Yeah.
50 client-centered practices, which are like just a wealth and a variety too. There's a lot, so much variety. So if there's something that you can connect with anybody, I think, with a number of practices, because you're saying this takes practice. It's unfamiliar to many of us.
Yes. And the thing that I like about the, you know, the exercises book is that the exercises are really meant to, you know, explore them with a safe other. You know, explore them with a therapist, explore them with a partner, with a friend, with someone who can be an anchor for you, who can hold you in safety, and then practice them on your own. Because building the new pathways and reshaping the nervous system is done by doing small things over and over and over, right? And so we need to find the things that we want to do over and over and over that speak to our system. So out of those 50, you know, exercises, even for me, there's some that I wrote and that people really love, but my nervous system goes, no, thank you.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And that's really what we want to honor, right? We want to create our own menu, right? So when, you know, these days we keep getting things, you know, over our email that says, you know, 5 ways to whatever, 6 ways to, you know, survive the pandemic, 5 ways to
right,
whatever,
right.
Whatever. You know, what I want you to do is I want you to yes, look at those 5 ways, but ask your nervous system, because that's somebody else's nervous system giving you those.
You're gonna have this
you
resonance.
Say, does that fit
yeah.
for my nervous system? Right?
Yes.
And if the answer is no, do not put it on your
then
menu.
Just set it aside.
Exactly. If the answer is yes, try it out. If the answer is maybe, play with it and see. But if it's a no, it's like, don't feel bad. Just because some expert is saying, here are the 5 ways, doesn't mean your nervous system is going to be in agreement with that. And that's what we want to honor, right?
Yes.
Your nervous system knows what it needs.
Oh, say that again.
Your nervous system knows what it needs. Our job is to learn to listen, right? We need to tune in, listen to the messages our nervous system is sending us, and then honor that, right?
And I don't know that very many people in our society are good at that because we haven't learned this. So this is for all of us.
This is for
This
all.
is new. We can all practice this, and we're not alone in this because this is not
No.
something that we learned.
That's right. It is something that I hope becomes more available for people to learn. I think if, with parents, sort of understand the process of how a nervous system works, they'll parent in a new way. And so we'll
You'll
build
be
a
able to
new.
watch your child go through the
Exactly.
hierarchy, up and
Knowing
down the
that you
elevator.
have to stay anchored and ventral while your child is going
Yes.
down and up. But yeah, for in the helping professions, that is our responsibility. Our responsibility is to be regulated.
To be present and regulated.
To be in
Yes.
ventral in the language of the nervous system, because if I'm not in ventral, I can't be a safe other for anyone else around me.
Yes. So all of us, therapists, everyone, this is such a gift. It's such a gift for the therapeutic world. I mean, I didn't learn this in grad school. Yeah, this is a new level of understanding for me, and I can be more available and understand the ask for my clients.
Yeah, you can look across the way, whether it's a client or your child or a friend, your partner, a colleague, you can look across the way, and rather than feeling, a demand coming, you can look and say, I wonder what state their nervous system is in, because that, whatever is coming from a state, right? And if they're in sympathetic, I get why it's feeling so intense as it comes at me, right? It's interesting because the sympathetic activation, you can't hide, right? Because it's out there for all the world to see. I mean, it may be an internal anxiety, but it's going to be felt and seen on the outside. Dorsal, because we become invisible, we sort of fly under the radar. It's
Yes.
somewhat easier to be overlooked or not seen,
Yes.
which is also the danger of people who go to dorsal, is that they are overlooked. And so we want to reach out, and we want to be curious if that person is sort of, quiet or not really here, or took a step back. Is it because they really are just listening and feeling safe, or are they in that disappearing place? Because then we need to reach out, right?
Well, I was thinking about, like, as I was thinking about, what do I want to talk to you about? And we've got this base now of understanding. And in your new book, you talk about a number of ways that we naturally, like nature, solitude, stillness, play, like these natural, ways that we can just step into and have some access to this. And so I know I just threw a number of these out, but
That's okay.
to speak to some of these ways that we can start to that naturally bring us, like you were talking about nature in your book and just being in
Nature is a
nature.
lovely place to start because it is all around us. And the lovely thing is that the research about nature says that, even if you are in a place where you can't look out your window and see nature, you can see it on a screen, you can see images, right? And your nervous system responds, whether it's on a screen or out there in the real world, which is so fascinating to me, because nowadays, we can all collect images, right? They're available on the internet everywhere. But
Yes.
there's lots of research around simple little things like a single flower brings people wanting to connect with each other. One single flower in a room, right?
One
It's
single flower in
amazing.
a room.
One single flower in a room. The fractals are these repeating patterns that are just normally found in nature. Nature is full of fractals. If you look at a snowflake, it's a fractal. If you look at the ripples in a water, if you look at the spiral in a shell, these are all fractals and our nervous systems respond.
These repeating patterns.
Yeah.
Yes.
And our nervous systems respond with ventral connection to just seeing fractals. And
wow.
So these are these simple ways to resource your ventral without having to do much of anything, which I think is really helpful.
When you say that, when you say our nervous system responds, when we're out in nature, like our heart rate goes down, our blood mm-hmm. pressure goes, like these are the things you're talking about, like this mm-hmm. actual physical that yeah. I'm not thinking it to happen. You can't
no.
ask it to do that.
Right. Right.
Just this
right.
natural response to these patterns.
And so if you build in some nature experiences, you know, every day or several times a week, you're shaping your nervous system to have more access to that ventral space. Right. There's this lovely study that says 5 minutes of nature viewing before a challenge helps you return to ventral more quickly afterwards. So, you know, and since, you know, I think the day is a challenge nowadays. If you start your day with 5 minutes of nature viewing, your nervous system is primed to recover more quickly when you get stressed.
Wow.
It's fascinating, isn't it? You know,
yeah, so. I hadn't heard that. I'm like going, one of the things that I found going through the pandemic, and it so connects, I'm like going, oh, like these things, the lights coming on,
mm-hmm.
is poetry. Mary Oliver's poetry is, she walked in the woods for years and wrote about it. And so I have been so drawn to that and sending Mary Oliver or John O'Donohue, mm-hmm. some of these mm-hmm. poets that were so connected
yes.
to nature. And now I'm going, the poetry
makes
of
sense.
Nature, the, yes. Oh,
right.
I have chills right now. Like I'm just
oh,
going,
I know.
It
lovely.
Makes so much sense. Yes.
Yeah. So nature is one of the things that I encourage all my clients to connect with because it's easy. It doesn't take a lot of effort. And sometimes we need things that are easy to do and don't take a lot of effort because the world is just, you know, my bandwidth is small. I don't
yes.
have a lot of bandwidth to do it. This I can do.
Yes.
Stillness, solitude. You know, that I talk about is a very complicated nervous system experience.
Yes.
Because we can easily go from solitude to lonely, right?
And you talk about how those are connected. It's a dorsal place, solitude.
So solitude is when ventral and dorsal are working together because we become still in the immobilization of dorsal, but we bring safety from ventral with us. And so
yes.
that's why it's complicated for our nervous system, because as soon as it feels a little too much, ventral, you know, loses contact. And now we're in dorsal collapse, shutdown, loneliness.
Yes.
So, you know, we have to know how much solitude am I needing?
Yes.
And when does solitude begin to cross the line into loneliness? And that's one of the things that I work with people to identify, when do you feel, oh, I need a moment of quiet by myself, or I want to just sit quietly next to someone and not talk, you know, that shared stillness, right? You know, so there are all these ways that our nervous system will give us clues. You know, I've been with people for too long, and it's been really enjoyable, but now I need to have a moment to myself. Your nervous system is saying you need some stillness. But then if you stay in that stillness, and for many of us, solitude, you know, is the new norm, right? There's a lot
right,
of solitude
right.
going on nowadays. And yet, how do I know when I'm crossing the line from solitude, which is nourishing, to loneliness, which is a survival state and depleting, right? And because once I cross the line to loneliness, then I have to connect either with nature or with another person, right?
That awareness here.
Again.
And this is also a muscle that can be developed, like this mm-hmm. muscle of solitude with the awareness. When I cross that line, that's when it's depleting.
Right.
Then to reach out to another.
Right.
Because that's what loneliness is giving us, those cues.
Loneliness is giving you cues. And the response to loneliness is one of two things. We either, when it gets too big for us, not when we first notice, oh, I've crossed the line, because then I can access a more measured response. Mm-hmm. But when I'm in it and I'm just feeling consumed by loneliness, I'm either going to reach out in a desperate, sympathetically driven need,
mm-hmm.
or I'm going to collapse into despair and hopelessness and give up.
Very limited. I mean, those are so limited. That's very narrow options here.
But that's what our nervous system does when it feels the overwhelming intensity of unending loneliness. So, like with everything, we need to catch it in the beginning. Oh, I'm
And
noticing a
unending
flavor, unending loneliness.
loneliness is a cue. I'm in dorsal, really deeply in dorsal. So it's a state
Yes. And
that.
then what happens is sympathetic may try to rescue you from the dorsal despair by having you reach out, but the intensity, you know it when somebody reaches out to you and you feel, oh my God, overwhelmed by their demands,
Yes,
right? That's their sympathetic
yes.
system, you know, reaching out because the alternative to that is despair.
And that's, I was just bouncing back and forth between fight and flight and collapse, fight and flight, collapse, or that
But we
sympathetic
all
and
do
dorsal.
need some moments of solitude. It is a nourishing nervous system
We're
experience.
made, like where our nervous system is made for this. We can't have stimuli all the time.
We're on a continuum of solitude to social, right? I think all of us have a place on that continuum. You know, I'm more on the solitude end. I appreciate a lot of solitude, and I have a friend who's very much on the social end. She really appreciates being around others, right? So we're holding down the two ends, but we move between all the time. You know, there are times when I know, okay, too much solitude. Let's go, you know, let's go reach out, you know, because I need to feel some of the energy on the other end of the continuum. Right. So where, you know, the first thing is to place yourself, where is my natural place? Am I more on the social or the solitude end? And then just know that and then work with that, right?
Which that really speaks to the practices, the 50 practices that you have, or even clients. Like I always tell my clients and the people that I know, and you can come up with your own based on this. You probably already have some things that are that you're doing that work really well.
And that's the beauty of this way of working is that once you befriend your nervous system, you're going to be creative in finding your own practices, right? I mean, I've given people practices to choose from, and then my invitation is to change them in any way that works, create new ones. I hear from people all the time, I just created this way of doing it. Wow, brilliant. You know, I love it.
The creativity comes online, which you talk about too. That's so connected to play, creativity.
And creativity again is only, you only have access to creativity when you have some ventral in your system, right? Sympathetic, you are not creative. Dorsal, you are not even around to be creative, right? You've disappeared. But, you know, even in sympathetic, you are too chaotic to be creative, right? If you are in ventral, but again, that lovely vagal break is allowing you access to sympathetic mobilizing energy, you can be really creative. Absolutely. Yeah. And
So,
play. We talk about play for a moment.
yes, please.
Play is, you know, we learned, should learn to play as kids as a safe, you know, exercise of your system, right? So ventral is connecting, and then sympathetic brings you all this energy. And then at some point, it overwhelms. And you see this in kids. They're doing this rough and tumble, lovely play. And then the next minute, somebody's crying and somebody's screaming, right? Because it got too big. Right. And then we help them bring it back. Right. That's
Yeah, you
that
could just
exercise.
see that shaping right
Yes.
there.
And as we help them do that over and over again and they reconnect, they're building the capacity to play, right? For play to stay play and not become fight, not become a fear, right? But just stay play. And play for many of us was not something we learned how to do, right? It is silly to say that, but we didn't learn how to play. We didn't have opportunities to practice play. And so, you know, if we, you know, say to all of your listeners right now, you know, we're going to just have 5 minutes of play in the next 5 minutes. And everybody checks into their nervous system. Many of the listeners, their nervous system is going to go to a sympathetic
Like,
fear,
oh
right?
no. Yes.
Or they're going to go to a dorsal disconnect, right? Because it's not safe.
Yeah.
The
'Cause they
conditions
never,
don't,
that unfamiliar that you were talking about,
right?
or it never was safe, or it drew too much
Right.
attention to me.
Right. Because play really is a spontaneous thing. So, it unfolds as it happens. And for many people, not knowing the rules, things that just sort of spontaneously happened were very dangerous. And so they're cues of danger. So your neuroception, to go back there again, feels this as dangerous. And it's going to take you to one of those survival states, right? Which makes perfect sense. And again, if we let people know and let your listeners know, if you had a sympathetic, oh my God, I can't, or a dorsal, despair, hopeless response, that
Around
makes perfect
play.
sense. Around play makes perfect sense. There's nothing
Right.
wrong with you. It's your nervous system saying, this feels too dangerous. And so to play, we have to build in some cues of safety, right?
And to practice, and I just, when you said we don't know the rules here, like with play, and for that just so hit me when you said that, because I thought, how, because I had to know.
Exactly. Of
As
course.
a kid,
And
like if I grew up in a home life that was more chaotic, or maybe there was neglect or whatever, I
absolutely.
had to know. And so play is just like out of the bounds, because I don't know what's going to happen next. And
Exactly.
what
Exactly.
a to be able to know. And I love this in your book. You like practice it in small little bits. Like you just take on
Small
these
moment.
tiny little bits. This isn't when we say practice. It's just take on tiny little
Right.
things,
Right. Yeah.
and over time that becomes more acclimated.
I talk about micro moments, right? There are these micro moments that we dip into play or we dip into stillness and just stay there for a micro moment. And then the next time, maybe it's a little longer micro moment, or maybe that is where we're going to be for quite a while. And really, we're partnering with our nervous system.
With awareness, with that tracking. And then,
Right, my nervous system is going to tell me, okay, 10 seconds, that's enough play for right now. And I'm going to say, okay,
yes, that's
perfect.
enough. Stillness, like in meditation, so many people talk about, and there's so much science around how meditation can help with regulation. It rewires the brain. And I've heard so often, I can't do it. It's too difficult. I thought I was supposed to feel peaceful.
Right. Yes. I'm in that group of people, by the way.
Yes.
And I've read all the research and I know how wonderful it is. And it still is, does not, my nervous system cannot go into that in that way. So
Yes.
I do the mindful moments rather than the
These
mindfulness
micro
practice.
moments. Yes.
So, I think it's encouraging for the people I work with when I say, I can't do that. It's too much.
Oh,
It overwhelms my nervous system, right?
yes.
It's too much. So
We
I do
start
mindful
where we
moments.
are because that is absolutely the perfect place to, there's no other place to start. You don't have to be anywhere else or start anywhere else.
Right.
Start where you are, and it's beginning by noticing with
Right. Right.
curiosity.
Yeah, it's that noticing with curiosity, and then it's also the really acknowledging and honoring the wisdom of your nervous system, right? Like my nervous system says mindful moments work for a reason. There's a reason that happens in my system, and that going into a long mindfulness practice is not, what I can do at the moment, right?
Yeah.
And so to really, honor the fact that your nervous system it has reasons for why it's bringing you these responses, and then we can be curious.
Now you brought up a question that I get a lot, which is you're saying honor the wisdom of my nervous system. And I have people look at me all the time and go, I don't trust my body.
Right.
And there's the dilemma there.
Yeah, and that's that misattunement that had to happen while you're growing up, right? That because if you think about growing up in a trauma-filled environment or a dangerous environment, the lesson where we learn, what we're told is, don't listen to what's happening in here. What's happening out here, don't see. Not everything is disavowed, unacknowledged. And if I happen to say something about what I'm feeling or seeing, then that's dangerous. I'm going to be told that's not happening, that's not feeling. Don't do that, right? So I've been taught to disconnect from this, because in fact, what I was getting for signals were accurate signals, but I was taught to not listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
So in this early work, as we reconnect, we're simply, let's listen. And then the question becomes, you know, we have to update the system, right? And so the question that I use, you know, that I become use with my clients is, in this moment, so I'm bringing it into the present, in this moment, in this place, so with the environment,
in this moment, in this place,
with this person or these people, so there's the relational piece, is this response needed? Or is this intensity of response needed? And it's simply bringing some awareness to what's happening, right? So that helps them tune in because the response is happening. Mm-hmm.
Because at some point, this was needed.
It was.
You're not making this up. It was needed. Mm-hmm. So now I'm bringing it in this moment, in this place with this person and making it present.
Right.
And honoring this, you're not like you're having this response because this was the way it was.
Exactly.
Now, come now. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know what happens when we have an intense response and then we don't trust it?
Yes.
It's because there was some mismatch there early on, right? We had the response. It was necessary. And something was didn't happen afterwards that needed to happen. Right. So I'll often have clients, I know I'll have an intense response sometimes in a moment that feels out of proportion to this moment in time.
Yes.
And I ask that question. It's like, oh, no, because what's happened is it tapped into something in my early history that just came alive for me. Or it's letting me know that you have not been paying attention for the past 3 days. So, of course, we're going to bring you this overwhelming response now to get your attention.
Because sometimes when you actually ask that question, you go, oh, this is actually appropriate here. So it's not like you're not asking these questions knowing the answer. You're like going,
right.
I didn't know I had this intensity and this is appropriate here.
Exactly.
Or this intensity when you're starting to look around and go, you know what? There's nothing happening right now. And I feel this intense.
Right. Or I'm looking around going, yeah, there are some cues of danger here and I need to pay attention.
Yes.
Both of those are the experiences we didn't get growing up and we need to connect to now.
Which is so like that ability to do the read on the inside and the read on the outside.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we learn with these practices. That like what you were saying, ventral is that connection with myself, with others, with the world, and with spirit.
And the place that you know we experience well-being, both physical well-being and psychological well-being, when we have enough time spent in ventral. And remember, we don't spend all our time there, but enough time in ventral, or knowing how to get back there, then allows us to have this experience of well-being, right? And to move through the world. And again, I want to say that ventral is not just ease and joy and happy and love and peace. Ventral is also, I can stand up for myself and speak my truth in a strong way, but not from a survival state, from a place where I'm anchored here.
That's right? What I think that's a good point, because it's like, I'm okay enough to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be that I'm having a lot of dangerous signals in my body and I'm present. That's ventral.
Exactly.
Or that it feels really chaotic out there and I'm okay. And that is something that's practiced and over time becomes more, we become more resilient.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I can set boundaries. I can have difficult conversations. I can, you know, address situations that are not okay. Right. I can do all that from ventral, and I can be playful and joyful and passionate and excited and calm and at ease. All of those, when they're anchored in ventral, bring us well-being. So there are lots of flavors of ventral.
The starting place is what you said, that befriending.
Yeah.
Just beginning to notice, where am I?
Right.
And how do I find my way home? And staying home all the time and ventral is not possible,
Not
because
possible.
this is a designed, well-designed nervous system. We have these states for very important reasons, right?
Yes.
It's not like I'm in dorsal. Oh man, you know,
well,
I failed. You know?
Right. Yes. That would not be the befriending place.
No,
right?
It's like,
oh, I'm in dorsal. Huh. I wonder what's going on that my nervous system felt it needed to rescue me in this way. Right.
I wonder what's going on. Okay. Mm-hmm. Anything else that I have missed or that you feel like is important to let people know about what you've learned? You've been studying this a long time and working with so many people.
You know, I think we've done a lovely job of covering all sorts of experiences. And I guess what I'd like to end with would really be this sense that we do need to befriend and honor, right? That any response we have, when it's a survival response, we want to put the word adaptive in front of it. So it's an adaptive survival response, because in the moment, the nervous system is feeling that you are in danger and it is bringing you this response, right? So again, it's an adaptive survival response, and it may not be working so well in this present moment, but the nervous system is showing up to make sure you survive. And so our job is then to begin to be curious and befriend and reshape, so that, you know, in the future, that adaptive survival response may be less intense or less frequent, but I can count on my nervous system to show up in service of my survival.
Oh, and I know I keep asking you to say things again, but oh, one more time, I can.
So I can count on my nervous system to show up in service of my survival.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as I start to trust, it's doing this on my behalf.
It is.
My body is here for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And then and as we reshape, then your nervous system continues to show up, and it shows up in the new pathways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So befriending, that turn toward with kindness.
With kindness and curiosity.
Yeah.
And so for those who want to learn more about you, to study with you, where can we find you on the web?
So my website is rhythmofregulation.com, and that's the best place to go. Everything's there. And, you know, interviews, podcasts, materials, books, all there. Mm-hmm. So come visit my website and say hi.
Yes. Yes. Oh, deep gratitude for this time today. I just feel like a kid in the candy shop right now, that I just got to have this conversation and clarify some things. Even for me, I've had some moments of like, oh, that just came together. And so it's just been so rich for me.
I'm glad. It's been just a really lovely co-regulating time we've spent together. So thank you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, peace be with you.
Thank you.
And thank you. Thanks for listening to Awareness Houston. You can find more resources at jenniferchristiancounseling.com and The Way at twmbh.com.